Hey, this is Maya Wild, host of Dirt Road Less Traveled, alternate Thursday afternoons at 4, and you are listening to WIOX Roxbury, live and local in New York's Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM, MTC Cable Channel 20, and WIOXradio.org.
You're listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20, and everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate. If you like what you hear, you can also get WIOX on any smart device through the FM radio apps. Yes, this is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
I am good. How are you?
I am well.
I am also well. Alive and well.
Yeah. Hey, on the positive side, I think this is the cleanest I've ever seen the studio.
Yeah.
It's spotless. Things are gleaming.
Spotless in here. Everybody's wiping everything down constantly.
Which makes me realize how dirty it was before.
Yeah, maybe we should have been doing a better job.
Yeah, really. I should have been cleaning more, I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, this button, man, that's brighter than I've ever... I didn't know it was that color. Okay, so what have you been up to, John?
I've been trying to work on some firewood while the weather's good. Also doing a lot of work in the shop, in the workshop, the wood shop.
Yeah,
my garage. I set up some of my woodworking tools.
Sweet. And
things are getting the way I want it.
What are you gonna make?
I don't know.
You go out there and tinker?
That's right. Just hang out in the garage. Well, there's some things in the house that, well, we don't have much furniture, so can start by making some things, I guess.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah. Anything first?
Julie's requested bedside stands.
Okay.
Because there are none.
You got any tunage out there?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first things. I got the...
What do you got?
I get the internet to the garage, so I just...
You Bluetooth it?
I just Bluetooth it to the stereo and put on Pandora or YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Whole albums, things like that.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been finished splitting my sapwood for maple sugaring next year. So, yeah, the buckets are... put away, dried, stored, and ready for 2021. It was an early maple sugaring season, but that's tonight's show, is the 2020 Backyard Maple Sugaring Report. Just want to say that it's not the commercial maple sugaring report. It's just Backyard Sugaring Report from my perspective. That's about it, and I'm sure John has something to add as well.
Yeah, I think the commercial guys are, most of them are still at it, and maybe for another week or two, hopefully. They can squeeze two out of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how many of them are at it down where I am. I don't know about that. It didn't freeze. It may have froze last night. Barely. I don't know.
Yeah, it froze. Frozen Delaware County, Central Delaware County, at least.
Yeah.
So I think the ones around me are still kicking, but I don't know. I talked to one yesterday, and he claimed 2 to 3 more weeks, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, hey, if you're on a north-facing side, your sugar bush, then I could see that.
As far as the backyard guys go, I think everyone I know that does backyard sugaring is done and cleaned up.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to talk a little bit about backyard sugaring itself, and then I looked at my notes going back to 2007.
Wow.
So, and, yeah, I could see how many gallons per tap. People always want to ask you how many gallons of syrup did you make. But what's more important to me is gallons per tap. So some years I have different taps, and that doesn't really tell you anything. It's how much syrup I made from that amount of taps that, to me, it tells me more. So,
right.
You know.
This year for me was low. But I tapped late.
Yeah, it depends when you tapped, but I don't know. Maybe. You know, who knows? But we'll talk about it tonight. So, why get into maple sugaring at all? And I know you and Mike Porter, president of Catskill Forest Association, did a show on maple sugaring, right?
Yeah, we did a backyard maple sugaring show 2 weeks ago.
You son of a gun.
3 weeks ago. So, we went over a lot of the introduction,
yeah.
What trees to tap. How to tap a tree, how to identify a sugar maple, and why you need to be looking for the sugar maples. We spent a lot of time talking about the difference of sugar contents between trees. And
yeah.
But
you can tap any tree in the maple family. You can tap a Norway maple. You can even tap an Acer Negundo. What do you call it?
Box elder.
I can never remember the name of that tree for some reason. Box elder. Or Manitoba maple, as they call it in Manitoba.
Have you ever tried that?
No.
I got to fight someone who's tried.
But they'll, yeah, I've heard of people doing it. But you can tap any tree in the maple family.
Right.
You could even tap a Japanese maple, I'm sure. But it's sugar maple that is good for multiple reasons. One, it does normally have higher sugar contents. And also, the buds don't burst until later in the season. And why does that matter? From what I've read and known, is that it starts converting, what is it, sucrose to starch.
Right.
And that's what's called buddy sap.
It'll start getting very cloudy, maybe even yellow.
Yeah.
And definitely going to produce some off-flavor syrup. And some people like that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I could see that. Now, when I went to Verona to the Maple Conference, a guy from Quebec came down. And a lot of people don't realize this, but Canadians, according to him, do not have as many sugar maple as New York State. They have mostly red maple. So when you go to the store and you get that Canadian maple syrup, it's from red maple trees, as far as I know.
Wow.
And it makes sense because when you start to look at the range map of sugar maple, we are in the heart of sugar maple right here in New York State. In fact, New York State has more potential taps than any other place in the world. And then, inside of New York State, Delaware County has the most potential taps in New York State. So Delaware County is perfect for maple sugaring. Why? We got well-drained, moist, rich soils. And that's all sugar maple needs. It's calcium-rich, well-drained. And there's springs everywhere and tons of nutrients and stuff for trees. So might not be great for growing, I don't know, John, what do you grow in a valley? That you till up potatoes or something, I don't know. But it's darn good for growing sugar maple.
So. Right. Not good for black walnut, maybe.
In fact, really, the biggest competitor for maple sugaring in New York State is timber. Our sugar maples are so nice that in the past and today, people sometimes don't want to tap them because it will reduce the saw log quality.
Yeah, I've heard that many times in the last five or ten years talking to different people, between people I've asked if I can tap on or members of Catskill Forest Association asking me about the positives and negatives, and it always comes up.
Oh, it's a big sin to especially older foresters and foresters who are managing for timber to tap a maple stand.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Just devalued if it was veneer, it's no longer.
So. Right. I know one person who does value his timber very much, but he taps within 6 to 8 inches of the ground.
Wow.
He runs his tubing right on the ground, and then he's got these short little
You're
drops.
Still devaluing, though, because it's going to spread 8 inches up.
Right. So I asked him about it. His theory is that, well, most loggers will cut off the butt of the log anyway for some other defects. So some of it will be lost. So he's like, well, I lost 2 to 4 feet on every tree, but I got maple sugar all those years as well.
Yeah. And now, you know, people have researched like at Cornell that, you know, if you value it across its life, you can make more money off of tapping. But most people don't think in 30 to 60 year increments. So timber is still king when it comes to, recouping immediate, I would say, value.
Yes.
I would say. But in any case, however, you can get an ag assessment for tapping your trees, and you can't for doing timber. You have to go into the 480A forest tax law program, which probably isn't as good as the ag assessment, to be honest, in some ways. But that's a whole different radio show.
Right.
And we're talking about backyard sugar. So New York State's where it's at. Delaware County is definitely where it's at. The taste, obviously, is subjective. I like the taste. So I heard you – I listened to you guys talking a couple weeks ago, and you talked about thickness. And I've never had a problem with going 8.5 over, and you guys are talking about that.
I know. Yeah, Mike got it. He talked a little bit about I don't remember if it was on the air or while we were driving, but he talked about
it was on the air.
How it's a super saturated solution at that point, and you'll get crystallization. But like you said, you've never had a problem.
I've never had a problem. Everyone's thermometer is different. But usually at 7.5 degrees over the boiling point of water, your sap is syrup at that point. You know, so when you're boiling and 7.5 over, it's syrup. I found it was just too watery, and I would try to get as close as I can to crystallization because I like thicker syrup. You know, when I put it in the fridge, I especially like it to be
And that's the benefit of being a backyard sugar, because you're not selling it. There's no one, there's no test out there. There's nobody testing, you know. If you were doing bulk syrup and selling it by the drum, every drum would be tested like that. You have to be right on.
Yep.
Otherwise, you'll be docked or your price will change accordingly, so...
Sure.
In the backyard, you can make whatever you want, however you like it to taste.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, maple syrup is another reason to make it is it's not just for pancakes, all right? Come on. Right? I put it on my breakfast sandwich every morning. I mean, there's so much more you can put on. You can put it on salads. I put it on popcorn, man.
Popcorn, wow.
Oh, hell yeah.
With your cayenne pepper, too?
Okay, I'll give you an example tonight. Tonight, I'm going to go home. There's leftover frittata, right? I'm going to put maple syrup on it. Why not, John?
Hey, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Not something I would do, but...
Why not?
Why not?
You're too good for it.
I never think about maple sugar, maple syrup on anything. Julia's been putting it on breakfast sandwiches when she makes them on the weekends. And that's
do you like it?
It's excellent.
You don't need to put much.
No.
I mean, I'm not talking about going crazy here.
No, it shouldn't be dripping off, but...
No
way. I said it 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again. Where I use the bulk of the syrup in the house every year making maple peanuts.
Yeah.
And most of that's made during deer season.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good trail food for sure. It's good hunting food. So, okay, you can put it on a lot of things. The other thing is let's talk about tree selection. We talked a little bit about it, but, you know, this is not as important as it used to be. It used to be, like you were saying, to go for sugar maple only. And in the late 1800s, I think they tapped probably a lot more sugar maple. We can see this from the old sugar bushes.
Right.
They're always sugar maple. Big wolf-like sugar maples standing in someone's woods that's surrounded by pole-sized young maple trees. Chances are if you have a lot of these above your house, it's probably an old sugar bush from the late 1800s.
Yeah, and some of these trees are huge. Some of them are 2 to 3 or 4 feet in diameter.
Yeah, none of them, from what I have seen so far, are red maples. So they were strictly tapping sugar maple. It makes sense because this is before reverse osmosis.
Right.
Reverse osmosis has changed everything. I mean, you can run the sap through a filtration device, and it bumps it up to 8% or something. I don't know.
It depends on a lot of things, but you can get 6 to 20% depending on your membranes you have and how many cycles you put it through.
Right. So in that case, people are tapping, really, much to the chagrin of foresters, saw log trees, because trees with crowns that aren't that big anymore, they're more likely to tap those because they can just run that sap through a membrane. Whereas back in the old days, you would only go for bushy sugar maples because the bushy ones, the ones with big crowns and full sunlight, had the highest sugar content. 3% on a tree like that is not unheard of. And today, 2% is kind of rare in a sugar bush that's a crowded sugar bush.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Those commercial guys are typically under 2% if they're tapping in the forest. And, I mean, they might be going for some of the densest stands, and those trees might have the smallest crowns because tubing costs money to run. So the higher density of trees per acre, they're going to have more taps with less investment.
Yeah. Those Long Islanders say, totally.
Totally.
You ever hear them say it?
No.
Oh, well. Okay. I was talking to someone the other day, and he's like, totally. I was like, did you say totally?
Totally.
What happened to the A? Where'd it go? Anyway, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., tonight's topic is the 2020 Backyard Maple Sugaring Report. I'll give a little report at the end, but we're just talking about, you know, going through the process of backyard maple sugaring. It might be too late to do it this year in Delaware County, but next year should be good.
Stars fall silent from your eyes. All the sights that I have seen. I can't believe that I believed. I wish that you could see. There's a new planet in the solar system. Nothing up my sleeve. I'm pushing an elephant up the stairs. I'm tossing up punchlines that were never there. Over my shoulder a piano falls, crashing to the ground. In all this talk of time, talk is fine.
This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Tonight's topic is the 2020 Backyard Maple Sugaring Report. We're going to go through the process of backyard maple sugaring kind of fast because 2 weeks ago, John and the president of the Catskill Forest Association, Mike Porter, went over it. But so looking for trees, sugar maple, big crowns. The bigger the better for a backyard maple sugar. The reason is because you're going to get higher sugar content. Chances are you don't have a $1,000 reverse osmosis. You can make your own. But if you know, it's not unheard of to get 3% sugar content from a big, wolfy maple, sugar maple tree. 3% just for, you know, reference. Like, okay, so a typical maple tree in the woods is going to be 50 to 1. That's 1.5%. That's 50 to 1. A tree that's okay, doing great, 2%. That's what people typically think of. That's 42 to 1. At 3%, I think it's 27 to 1?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a big difference, man. 27 to 1 from 42 to 1. When you're a backyard guy boiling on a 2x3 pan, 2 foot by 3 foot pan, is a big difference.
I mean, that could be 3 to 4 hours less of boiling to make that same gallon of syrup.
Yeah, I mean, I only boil away 5 to 8 gallons per hour, so that's huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time savings.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, pick your trees wisely. Don't get caught up in the numbers of taps, but pick quality trees, and you won't have to tap as many. Less buckets to clean out at the end of the year as well. So, not unless you're doing tubing. But, you know, on a small scale, tubing might not make sense. It might for you. That's really a personal thing. So, start cutting your sapwood early. This is the part where I think people kind of get messed up on. You got to think ahead. If you don't have dry wood, forget about it. Also, don't think of it like firewood, where, you know, you're cutting oak, sugar maple, dense woods for feeding your wood stove in your house.
Opposite.
It's the opposite.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you cutting?
This year sapwood. I burn mostly hemlock. That's because I was just ill-prepared, to be honest with you.
Hemlock's good.
Well, I mix it in with some red maple and hemlock is basically what it was. Yeah. If I was doing it, you know, this year, I'm planning ahead. I'm still using hemlock. Yeah. But I'm gonna mix it in with aspen as well.
Yeah, I like hemlock. Nothing wrong with hemlock.
Yeah. Well, this is slab wood. I don't think slab wood's nearly as good.
Why? Because it covers it?
It's too flat, yeah. So if you're going to use slab wood, you got to split it pretty fine.
Yeah.
Maybe into 2-inch squares or something.
Also the bark. The bark of hemlock should be off.
If
you can get the bark off, like white pine or hemlock, it works so much better. It's going to burn so much hotter.
Right, and a slab wood from a sawmill is going to have a high percentage of bark.
Yeah, because whoever cut this wood, this guy had logs down the road from me, and he must have cut it in probably the summer because the bark is coming off. I think that's how it works, right? I mean, the bark comes off in the summertime. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Spring and summer.
Yeah. So that bark was just falling off. I just take it all off, man. It dries so much better, you know.
So what, hemlock and pine for you?
Hemlock, white pine this year. White pine's like gasoline. That stuff's the best. You're just going to burn a lot of wood because it burns fast.
Yeah.
Aspen is very good. Aspen or poplar.
I've got some spruce for this year as well.
Spruce?
Loves. Yep, spruce. I had to do a tree removal, so
well, that's tough to split though.
I have a splitter. It'll be fine.
If you're hand splitting, forget about spruce. At least blue spruce. I've never done Norway.
This is blue spruce.
Forget it. I tried that once.
Yeah.
I couldn't split it.
Wow. I've never tried, but I have a splitter, so it's not.
Yeah, if
shouldn't
you have
be a
splitter,
problem.
It's fine. But I remember I got a blue spruce once, and it was like terrible. I could not split that thing, but I'm sure it'd be great. Yeah, those resins, you know, they light on fire hot and fast. That's what you want. I'd say if you have to go with other hardwoods besides aspen, I would say sassafras, which you don't have here in Delaware County. That's good. And red maple's not bad.
No, not bad. But okay. Again, you're going to want to split it small.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking firewood here.
That's right. So, get your sapwood in as soon as you can. Oh, yeah, catalpa. You don't have too many of those around here, but yeah, I burned catalpa last year as well. I also burned black walnut. Wasn't too bad. Wasn't great.
Seems like a waste of a walnut.
It was a terrible walnut tree. Oh, it wasn't. No, it had been butchered by the power company for years. Mm. It was growing terribly. So, all right, tapping. When should you tap? You know, this is the kind of thing, like, you should tap when the temperature's right. I look to tap after New Year's Day. And when the temperatures are in the 40s and it's freezing at night, I'm tapping. I don't, you know, you can go by a calendar. But like I've said before on other shows, we have an advantage over our ancestors in that we have a 10-day forecast.
Right. 15-day forecast if you're looking at the right site.
Yeah. So there you go. 15. And oftentimes they're right on temperatures.
Yeah.
Not on weather.
Yeah, not on precipitation.
No. They're not right on that. But on temperatures, they're not too bad. They can establish a trend on that. They can see fronts coming in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so if you see any windows in the 15-day forecast, if you see two windows in the 15-day forecast of 3 to 4 days of the right conditions, thawing days, freezing nights, it doesn't matter the calendar date, January, yeah. February, you're in the backyard. You're probably anxious to get out there anyway.
But this year, to be honest, it was too warm in January. I mean, there was days it was in the 60s. That's no good for the sap. It just warms up too much. But so I tapped the first, I think it was January 7th or so.
Hmm.
And by, you know, first week in February, I was pretty much done. It was a very early year this year. Very early year. So what are you going to do? That's what I did. I don't know. Some people say if you tap too early, you're going to have closure. I don't buy that anymore. I really don't. Because usually if it gets too cold, the wounds aren't healing. You right. know? So I'm not buying that anymore. And looking at my data going back to 2007, tapping early did not infringe upon how much syrup I made.
I don't buy it either because, I mean, these big producers who have 20 to 100,000 taps in New York and Vermont, they're tapping early. Like, first of January, they're in the woods tapping trees, and they're in the prime of their season now or the tail end of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 12 weeks is not uncommon to have a tap hole open.
Yeah, I'm not buying that anymore. So maybe with buckets, it could matter a little bit more since it's a little more exposed. It's going to matter, I would think, even less with tubing because it's more sealed.
Yeah.
But so I wouldn't just hold it to March, especially in the last few years. I would say February is becoming the better month of maple sugaring. Plus, the days are shorter. You know, I like it for selfish reasons. I like being in the sugar house when it's dark out. And when it's not at night, then, you know, when I get home at 5 and it's still light out, be honest, I'd rather do other things. So, there you go. Sap collection. Buckets make sense for most backyard maple producers just because, well, it's cheaper in some ways. I guess, I don't know, tubing, I've never done tubing. So, I can't really say. I mean, for me, I can't because I tap other people's properties, and I'll be honest, a lot of people like the way buckets look.
So. Yeah, no, and the ease of buckets. I mean, in a backyard, you're probably only going to be tapping 5 to 20 trees.
Right.
So to have 5 to 20 buckets laying around, you know, storing for the season isn't a big deal. Tubing, it stays up all year. You should replace it every few years. In the backyard, you could definitely roll it up and clean it out every year. It'll make it last longer. But there's hidden cost, right? So you got to have some type of tank for it to dump into.
Yeah.
Tanks aren't cheap. Even if you're going to go, you know, even a reused one from somebody else, you're probably going to pay something. 50 cents a gallon is typically the going rate for something that's not stainless. Stainless, it's going to be $1 to $2 a gallon
yeah.
for the size of the tank. So you're going to want to invest another $200 to $400 on a tank.
Not unless you want to do a hybrid and do a tube from the tree into a bucket. You could do that.
That's what I do. So everything I have is all hand-me-down. So I think I have 5 classic maple buckets that hang on the trees.
Yeah.
And then I've got 3 to 5 5-gallon Tractor Supply buckets or Ace Hardware buckets that have a 2-foot-long plastic tubing
yeah.
that go to them. And then I also, since I also have been involved with commercial operations, I had this year 2 lines coming into the sugar house
yeah.
of that had a total of 6 taps or 8 taps on them. So I had all 3 methods.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Whatever hey, works.
Whatever works for you. And then size of the hole when you're tapping, there's 3/16, 5/16, and 7. most backyards are probably going to be doing 5/16, I would imagine.
I think that's the most common for everything, especially if you're getting hand-me-down stuff from commercial operations. Yeah. It's likely going to be 5/16.
7/16 is very rare anymore. Larger the hole, the more staining you get going vertically and horizontally from the tap hole. And when you tap the next year, you don't want to tap within 2 inches horizontally and 8 inches vertically with a 5/16. With a 7/16, I think it's like 12 inches vertically.
Wow.
But, yeah. So those things matter. After that, you know, you can get pretty cheap if you want. I mean, you can store it in trash pails, your sap. As long as it's HDPE, high-density polyethylene. It says it on the bottom. If it says it on the bottom, HDPE, you can use it for food-grade plastic.
Yep.
So it'll be fine. You can even go to Best Do It's hardware stores, or Do It Best. I always mess that up. And they have starter kits, like backyard sugaring starter kits now.
Yeah, I've seen them at Ace Hardware and Tractor Supply, too.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. You get everything there. But buckets have an advantage, too, just for the backyarder, in that you get to know each tree. Every tree you're going to get to know who runs. And then you'll ask yourself, why does that tree run? Why doesn't it run? And you know, you just learn a lot about trees by doing buckets.
Yep.
With lines, you don't know who's running because it's all going from one into one area. So you can't really tell. But with buckets, you definitely can tell. You will know each and every tree very well.
Yeah, I had a bucket this year. The roadside tree, for whatever reason, was so slow in the beginning. And then at the end, it just became normal. But it didn't. It never made up for itself.
Yeah.
It just was off. Turned off for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden turned on and was fine, but I don't know if I'll tap it next year.
I've zeroed in on the best trees over time, but my best tree this year was my worst, and I know why. So my best tree used to be 3%. It would run 2 gallons of sap a day. It was awesome. Then this year it didn't, and what happened is the landowner there put in a driveway, blacktop driveway. Sugar maple has very sensitive roots. It fried it. It compacted those roots. That tree is telling me that it's dying.
Wow.
I guarantee it. So,
even though the tree itself appears healthy.
You wouldn't know it. But, yeah. And I've seen that with other trees. There was a tree in my backyard. It's in a slightly wet area. When I first got there, it ran. The next year, it ran less. The year after that, it ran even less. And I stopped tapping it. And the tree's crown has dwindled over time. So I think it'll tell you in the sap before anything else, really.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that over and over again. So tapping trees, you can use a drill, you know, a battery drill, a brace and bit if you're a purist and really want to do it the old-fashioned way. I've done that. You can make your own taps. I did that one year. You can make it out of sumac striped maple.
Yep.
So, yeah, it works. You'll be tapping on the ground, but it works. So, the bit itself, I don't know. I guess they call it a special wood bit, right? The bit for drilling.
I've been lucky enough to have a tapping bit left over from a commercial operation. So it's meant for tapping maple trees, and that thing works awesome.
Yeah, you can buy them from maple supply places like Bascom's in New Hampshire is a well-known one.
Yeah. So that'll cost you $20 to $40, where one at the hardware store is going to be $3. So
yeah.
So. And it'll work if you're only doing 5 to 20 trees.
True. So if you're tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is the 2020 Backyard Maple Sugaring Report.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else, I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.
All right, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is 2020 Backyard Maple Sugaring Report. So tapping trees, if you're a backyarder, remember when you're tapping that tree, put it slightly downhill, the tap hole. Don't go uphill. I've done that. Doesn't work. Doesn't work very well. Where on the tree? Some people say only on the south side. Well, you'll end up running out of space on the south side then. So eventually you're going to tap around all sides of the tree.
Right.
And also, the next year, you look for last year's tap hole, and you got to tap at least 2 inches horizontally and 8 inches vertically away from that tap hole. Otherwise, you're increasing decay, staining and decay in that tree. So otherwise, you can tap a tree for decades, many decades. So.
Yep. Just put in the backyard, just one tap per tree. That's all you need.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about this soon. I was going to say later, but, you know, later is becoming the end of the show. So I've gone to one tap per tree in 2013, and at worst, I haven't made less syrup per tap, and at best, I think I've made more, you know. So I'll talk about that. But a backyarder, chances are you have more trees than you can tap. Right,
yes.
A good, huge, crowned sugar maple tree can give 2 gallons of sap per day. So if you have 10 taps, that could potentially be 20 gallons of sap you have to boil down. You have to think about that. Do you have enough time to boil 20 taps on the big runs?
And that's how I figure out how many I'm going to tap every year, because I know exactly how many gallons per hour my evaporator can do, 4.5.
Yeah.
And when it's ripping, it can't do any better.
Right.
So I just count backwards, and I say, I don't want to spend more than 3 hours boiling when I get home from work because I'm tired.
Right.
And I want to do other things. You know, this is not the only thing I can commit my evening to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So figure 2 gallons per tap on big, you know, big honking sugar maple tree. If you do one tap, you're going to get more sap per tap overall. And there was a study I read many years ago that was conducted in the 1950s that confirmed what I think, what I'm thinking, is they tapped one sugar bush where they're doing two taps per tree, and another sugar bush was only one tap per tree. And the second tap, you might get only 30% of the first tap. Or maybe if it was 30 to 50%. I don't remember. But even if it was 75%, it would still be less sap. So if you do one tap per tree, you're going to get the full amount, the full power of that tree. I believe it. My sap is crazy. It's not unheard of for me to get almost 40 gallons of sap from 16 taps. That's nuts. That's over 2 gallons a tap.
I've never gotten anything like that ever.
And I have records now, so it's not unheard of. Like this year I had 16 taps, and there was several times that I got 37 gallons of sap.
Wow.
And to me, you know, sometimes I'd almost be mad. I'd be like, "What is this? You know, I got to boil all this now."
Yeah, it's
16 taps. Oh my God, how much sap? But so I only do one tap per tree. Also, I can tap those trees for a long time now at one tap per tree. I got so much more room on them, and the chances of increasing staining and rot is reduced. So at least that's my thinking. I don't know. Backyard sugaring as far as boiling. Anything stainless steel, really, right? I don't know.
Yeah, you can get crazy. I mean, be inventive. I boil on food service pans over a barrel.
Yeah.
You know, you can find an old other old stainless pans and repurpose them, or get an old maple pan. There's all sorts of commercial stuff that you can repurpose that someone might be giving away or selling cheap.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to have a flue to take away the smoke and make sure it's high. The higher, the more draft you have. Yep. You can do a block method, but then the smoke is rolling over the pan, and what ends up happening is you end up inhaling so much smoke, man. I've done that. It's at the end of the day, you're like, I feel like I've been choked from smoke. So it's good to have some way to draft away the smoke, you know. I think so anyway. So a barrel, that's the way I first did it. I just put a little pan over a barrel. You cut off the top, basically. That's basically a 2x3 pan in most cases. But stainless steel tin is another way people used to use. They used to use tin pans, but stainless steel is much easier to clean. Preheating, man, that is the name of the game. If you can preheat the sap onto some other pan before it goes into your main pan, that saves exponential time.
Right.
So
You can use the steam that's coming off your waste to heat the sap so it doesn't kill your boil.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else you got, John?
If you have any horizontal in your stack, you got to have 2 to 3 times the vertical.
Yeah.
Like mine, I'm in an overhang of just a lean-to off the side of the garage. So I have to go out 2.5-3 feet of stack before I can go up. Otherwise, I'll be in the rain. So then I go up another 8 feet past that.
Yeah, to make up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want too much horizontal. If you do, go up higher. You need air. Don't just throw in a lot of wood. You know, throw it in gradually so that there's enough oxygen to constantly create a ripping fire. You see sparks coming out the top. It's not necessarily a bad thing if you're a backyarder, especially.
Yep, you're doing it right.
That's right, you're doing good.
Yeah, I've had my the cap on the top of the smokestack glowing red before.
Oh, yeah. My neighbors come over and be like, you know, you got sparks coming out? I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm doing good. He's like, what?
Yeah, no, it's not like a fire in your house. If you see that in your stovepipe in your home, that's not good.
That's not good. That's creosote fire, maybe. So making syrup, how do you know when you have syrup? You're just going to boil away sap and add sap until you're 7.5 degrees over the boiling point of water, which should be measured every single day, and every location will be different, especially in these Catskill Mountains because we all live at different elevations. So boiling point of water, for instance, I remember on the thermometer I was using at Frost Valley, in 2007 was like 207 and a half or something. Then when I moved to Margaritaville, it was like 209 on that same Taylor thermometer. Where I live on my thermometer, digital one I have now, is about 213 and a half in Sampsonville. I don't know why.
Wow.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Last year I boiled in Andes. It was always at 209 or so. And now in Delhi, it's always around 206, 207.
Go figure. You know, just go 7.5 to whatever it reads. I go 8.5 on mine. It also depends where you're measuring. So measure on the same place you would measure the syrup. So if you put it on the bottom of the pot, lift it up a little bit so it's not directly on the bottom. You should maintain that consistency, you know.
Yep.
So, all right. Let's go over the report. If you're just tuning in, this is From the Forest, and tonight's topic is 2020 Backyard Maple Sugaring Report. So I looked at my notes here, and 2007 was the first year I ever made syrup, and that was at Frost Valley when I used to work there. And these were all forest trees. These are trees growing in the woods, crowded out, and the best they got was 1.5% sugar content, 50 to 1. 50 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. I worked my butt off. I don't know why. I mean, I moved, too, because I got a job with CFA, and I moved to Margaritaville. So I was commuting all the way to Claryville to make 4.5 gallons of syrup is what I made that year from 16 taps.
Whoa. So, you're boiling in Claryville still while living in Margaritaville.
Yeah, no, I really wanted to make syrup.
That's tough.
0.28 gallons per tap, and it was some pretty dark stuff because I was boiling a long time. It was just a barrel one and a small pan sitting on a barrel. Wasn't very efficient. My preheater was literally a coffee can. So there you go.
But it worked.
It worked, man. I made syrup. I was happy as hell. I filtered it through felt, and hey, man, that was cool. Then 2008, so let's just back up. 2007 was about 0.28 gallons of syrup per tap. Margaritaville moved, had a lot bigger, nicer maple trees to choose from, and I made 0.41 gallons per tap. Back then, if it was over 20 inches, I was doing two taps per tree. So,
now, a little perspective in the maple world. The 0.5 mark is kind of like the holy grail. That's like the sought-after number.
Half a gallon per tap.
If you got half a gallon per tap,
you won.
That's your ideal number. Is you had a great year, like a phenomenal year. So, back to you.
A quart per tap for producers is probably the grail, I would say, for most commercial producers.
Yeah, that's the average. If people go by, like when they're installing a sugar bush, they can pretty much run the numbers and say, I can do 0.25 consistently every year. But to get 0.5 is, like I said, like the holy grail.
Yeah, that's if you're tapping big honking sugar maples, right?
Right.
So 2008 was a remarkable year. That was the first year I tapped in Margaritaville, and it happened to be a stellar year. I mean, I thought this stuff was easy. I mean, it was perfect temperatures. And back then, though, to be fair, 2008 to 2011, when I was living in Margaritaville and Arkville, I went to the bitter end. So these numbers are slightly inflated. And back then, I used to only go 7.5 over, and I stopped. So that was it. But 0.41 gallons per tap. 2009, I remember this year. This year was a weird year. It'd be up in the 60s and then plummet into, like, the teens. It's a strange year. Produced a lot of syrup that year. At least I thought I did. 0.4 gallons per tap, but it was a dark, dark syrup because it was getting so warm during the day. And, again, I went to the bitter end, but I was happy as hell. I think I made 26 gallons of syrup that year from maybe 60 taps. I don't remember. But that math, whatever it was, it came out to 0.4 gallons per tap.
Yep.
I moved to Arkville, and 2010 was very warm. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember. This was a very warm spring.
It hit 80 degrees at the end, if I remember right.
That's what's cool about doing backyard sugaring is that you remember the weather. You know? Very warm. We did a backyard maple sugaring tour for CFA, and I remember just being short sleeve shirt, and it's warm as hell. Only made 0.22 gallons per tap. I remember down the line in central Ulster County, they were making nothing. They had like a week of sugaring season. It was just terrible. just got way too warm down there. 2011, 0.2 gallons per tap, but I met my wife that year, so that's what happened there.
Oh.
Blame her. Sometimes there are cultural reasons why you don't make so much syrup.
Just spent less time evaporating.
Yeah, I was just complaining, like, you know, while I was out in the sugar house so much and whatever. So, 2011, 0.2 gallons per tap. I don't think it was the best year. It was one of those, I think it was a weird year where it was too cold. I think it was just too cold, and then it just warmed up, from what I remember.
Where's 2012 on this sheet?
2012, I have no data. I moved to Sampsonville, and I think I was lazy that year and just took no notes. So 2012 is gone.
2012, I think it was a warm year, because I remember that. That was my first year working for the commercial sugar bush at Paul Smith College.
Yeah.
And I thought that we were doing great, because this is my first experience with a sugar bush that produces about 1,000 gallons of or greater of syrup per year.
Yeah.
And they only made like 600 or 700 gallons.
I think you're right.
It was very warm. That was the year it got up to 80 degrees, and then it just killed everything.
I think that year is the year that fooled me, because I was tapping these big sugar maples, and I wasn't getting much sap. I remember getting less than 10 gallons of sap. And it was warm, like you said, and not really freezing at night too well. And I think that's what led me to tap more than I wanted to, and the next year I got killed. I got so much sap, it was swimming in it. Yeah, I think you're right. So 2013, I made 0.49 gallons per tap, 25 gallons of syrup. Awesome year. Can't complain about that. One tap per tree. 2014 was a bad year. I don't remember 2014. I don't remember what happened there. It's 0.2 gallons per tap, only 9.8 gallons. I don't know. I don't remember 2014.
I don't remember it here because I was boiling up north, and we had a great year. 13, 14, and 15, Paul Smith, we made record years all 3 years continuously.
So that was the fluke. That was the only fluke out of this whole period from 2012 to 2020 is really that was the worst year I had, 2014. Then 2015, it's another 0.4 gallons per tap, 15 gallons. 2016, 0.595. I didn't even realize it was that high. So that was a decent year. 2017, 0.55 again. Again, this one tap per tree. 2018 was on what would have been a great year, I think, actually. The weather was perfect 2 years ago. But I had appendicitis. My appendix was about to burst, and I had to go to the hospital, so I had to stop.
Yeah. That was my first experience getting to see your trees. Because Mike Porter and I went and pulled your taps for you.
They're full.
And we brought a tank with us, and we took your sap home. Yeah. And I was overwhelmed, like, holy cow, Ryan wasn't kidding. He's got some good trees.
They're crazy. Crazy. 2019 is the best year I've ever had, last year. Best year I've ever had. This was a crazy year. I think I could have done a gallon per tap. I ended up at 0.75 gallons per tap. But if I had gone to the bitter end, I think I would have creamed a gallon per tap, man.
And there you go. You're the maple king then, I guess.
Gallon per tap. I made 15 gallons from 20 taps. It was insane. I mean, 3% was normal. It was nuts. Just making syrup hand over fist.
Wow.
From these trees. So the trees were going nuts. The weather was perfect. The lowest it got was at the very low, 2.3%. 2.5 to 2.8 was common, and 3% was not uncommon. Crazy. And there was a few days where it was over 3%. That's ridiculous.
I need to find trees like yours.
God bless America. So this year, I thought it was bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought. It ended up being kind of average, 0.42 gallons per tap. It was just a weird year because it was very warm, and I felt like the trees wanted to produce more sap, but anecdotally, I don't have much data on this, I feel like there was just less moisture in the ground because of the lack of snowfall. There was no recharge at the surface.
Early on when you tapped, yeah.
Yeah.
It
just snowed now, but...
Right. Well, I mean, I was going to say, in the last 3 weeks, we've gotten more rain and some, not really much snow, but more rain.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
I will say, though, my sap did come back when we got that little snowfall and rain. It got back. So I kind of do believe that that's what happened, but I don't really know for sure.
Yeah. Well, this year for me, as you know, I moved houses right when I should have began tapping. So it didn't happen until the last weekend in February is when I tapped.
Yeah.
So we ended up, Julie and I ended up with 0.24 gallons per tap.
Yeah.
But I was thrilled by it because we only were in the game for 3 weeks.
Right. So you probably would have made 0.4.
I think we would have, yeah.
Which is, I think, another average year for tapping decent trees.
Yep.
For tapping good trees. Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, that's all the time we got. We got about 10 seconds left. I just wanted to make one last comment. Backyard sugaring, you know, it's probably not as efficient of a pan as a commercial guy. So it's about, from my notes, 3/4 of a quart to make 10 gallons of maple syrup is what I make.
Start splitting your wood now if you're going to boil next year.
That's right. Up next is Mostly British with Rick Neblong, and have a good night.
Good night.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase the old man made his way, his ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way, getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long-forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest.